Past players, past legends, past legends.
To have a contest for the best banner. We took it up, the guy at SAFM goes, boys, that's brilliant. Yep. And you're obviously the best banner, but you can't win with that. So, yeah, so we had some fun with those, Wade.
Well, there's some good things, some good banners and over the history. And I remember one that regarded myself with Mercantile Health Insurance or something.
Right.
And they had it at Footy Park on Southern Grandstand. It was upside down. And it said, hey, you're the bloke you're standing lead. I hope you've got your insurance.
So that's right. Yeah, I do remember that now. Yeah.
Purposely had it upside down so the bloke lying on the ground could read it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no way.
It was pretty funny. And it's funny how things go, but, you know, nowadays players get pretty well remunerated for little bits they do in the media or appearances and stuff like that. That sign was up there, I think, for a month, and I got a bottle of whiskey out of it. How's that?
Well, better than nothing, I suppose.
Better than nothing. It went down all right, but, yeah, would have been worth a fortune nowadays.
Of course, though, at least you did have a very good end of the 93 where Woodville West Torrens, I admit as a Nord supporter, we may have been in the bar by about the seven-minute mark of the first quarter where the game was
7 minute mark. I was about five-minute mark.
So, boys were very good that day. And look, as I said to you when I ran into you a couple of weeks ago when we walked with the school footy, I was wrapped for Nevey in that because I thought Nevey should have played more at Nord. And obviously happy with Bruce as well. And you guys were just way too good at someone's actually. You lose a close one, you analyse it more. But out of that one, we just went, hey, Woodville West Torrens were just way too good.
Well, they had a purple patch there for a year and a half where you guys were really the dominant side but just couldn't get the chocolates until 93.
Yeah, pretty much. And, look, that day was a great day. There's no doubt about that. When you win flags, it's a great day and forever in your memory bank. And I struggled early. It took me to the 11th minute of the first quarter to get my first touch. And
I wish it had taken the bloody rest of you that long.
Yeah, because after that it was pretty easy. Yeah. I got a fair bit of it. But I remember I couldn't get near it and ball was going the other way and bouncing the wrong way. And I got a free kick or a mark or whatever it was. And I hit up Andrew Taylor and it was a reasonable kick and he marked and kicked a goal. And I just felt comfortable and relaxed. I probably felt a bit of pressure there. But after I got my first touch, things had settled down and away we went sort of thing. So that ended up being a pretty good day for myself.
You boys in 94 as well. That's the one where got away where Timmy G sucked in the retaliator and that. You're really there, and Scotty Hodges took over, but you should have been five or six up at quarter time, not three up, and you stuffed that up a bit.
Yeah, there's no doubt that one, we missed that one. We should have gone back to back for sure. The talent was there, the squad was there, we were in pretty good nick, but how many times have Port done it, and I probably won't continue to do it with the list they got down there at the Maggies at the minute. But, you never thought you'd beaten Port until the siren had gone. And they just kept creeping and calling. And Timmy Ginever, master at his class, started the niggling and naggling. And Port just wound up and really made most. I only watched some highlights recently of that, and just the little half chances that they took.
Yeah.
Goals are just getting him back, and then big Scotty up front just leading out and taking some incredible marks. And we know how good a kick he was, so if he got him in his hands, he was going to make you pay. So definitely that was the one that got away. But you look at that 93 flag side, and often I look at that premiership photo and see the amount of blokes there that had gone on or had played VFL, AFL footy was astonishing, you know. A lot of blokes, 15 or 16 blokes end up playing AFL footy out of that team.
And of course, it's a late Jamie Tape too as well. And Lawrence Shackey involved there. So there's some tragedy there is involved as well, Weed. Yeah. So.
Oh, absolutely. And this year we had our 30-year reunion.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe, 30 years ago. They had a tremendous tribute to Lawrence Shackey and Jamie Tate that day.
Yeah.
It was really great to see him. I think there was only obviously two blokes that could never go and a couple of blokes that would now work overseas that couldn't be there, but the rest of the squad was there and the club did a great job of recognising those two players. Yep.
Yeah, I think Christine Williams, a couple, drove the bus there and, yeah, full credit to Christine and David Kuesner and that, the way that was done. I've heard only glowing stuff back from a few of the other guys as well, just how well that was done that day, Weed.
Oh, it was perfect. Yeah, perfect. And I think looking around the room, I reckon there might have been a couple of tears in a couple of those eyes as well.
And so there should have been.
Oh, 100%. Yep.
94 was the one that sort of got away. What happened in 95 and 96? You were sort of in and out with the Crows and Woodville West Torrens?
Yeah, pretty much. I only pretty much played four or five games in 95, 96. I could see the writing was on the wall a little bit for myself. Robert Shaw was there. I wasn't getting a real good look in, even though I was promised a bit of a look in. I wasn't getting a look in, which made it sort of difficult a little bit to have some motivation. I felt it tough in those last 2 years. And at the Eagles as well, I think when you're not in the right frame of mind either coming back, it's always difficult to play good footy. But that's footy, and it's all how you adapt to it. Few of us didn't adapt to it real well. I think 95 and 96 were pretty tough years for my footy anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I probably wasn't – Robert Shaw's communication skills weren't great, and there was probably a bit of fault on both sides there.
Yeah, I think so. I can actually see why the club would appoint Robert, or at least engage in some conversation with him about coaching what we needed to do just to bring that bit of grittiness back into the team. You know, he was very good at Glenelg, and maybe in that role he was very good, but maybe not the master. But he was also pretty reasonable at Fitzroy with what he had. He was able to get them to do some stuff that they probably weren't capable of, but I don't think that Robert perhaps used both the skill sets to advantage. I think he wanted us to be more gritty than the way we used to be playing footy with skill, quick movement,
quick
bit of flair,
and
those sort of things. I think that's our trademark, always has been our trademark, was our trademark. And I think maybe Shorey took that away from us a little bit and made us play a little bit more gritty. I think he may have influenced Mark Lasciutto the wrong way a little bit as well. Instead, you know, trying to be the battering ram instead of his skill level as well. So I think he probably should have stuck with what we were good at, but also and maybe add that little bit more mongrel into us.
Do you find that that's a little bit where the Crows are at the moment? They've lost that little bit of flair. They've tried to go a bit too much the wrong way.
Well, I think that too, but I also think you've probably got to have some players that have some flair as well.
Yep.
I think our current day squad's very skinny.
I think it's an average list. I really do. It lacks depth.
I agree 100%. I think it's very, very skinny in a lot of areas. I think this year was a year backwards for us. I think we're still got a long way to go. I know it's a business, but in normal business, I think people would be accountable and may lose their jobs. I can't see anyone copping it in the neck down there for another pretty dismal year.
Oh, look, Weed, for mine, Adelaide Football Club worship mediocrity. Nothing against Lockie Murphy and Rob O'Brien as blokes. I respect both of them enormously, and they both try hard, but realistically, they've both played over 100 games, which is extraordinary. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. List cloggers.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, we'll move back on to you, Weed. We'll keep going with you, mate. Now,
I think you're right. But anyway,
yes. Moving back. Weed, when your AFL career finished up, let's be honest, coaching, you have been the everywhere man, mate. Go through some of that because, geez, we could talk about your coaching career for another couple of hours if we went through club.
Well, before we do that, what was your exit from Adelaide like?
Yeah, true.
You know, obviously Robert Shaw's taken over. You sort of saw the writing on the wall. How did that all eventuate? How did that get brought to you, so to speak?
Yeah, okay. So pretty much the news sort of broke that, you know, a few blokes were in trouble with Jars and Bruce McDermott and Greg Anderson and Tony McGuinness, those sort of guys had got the chop. And then it was a matter of who else was next on the list. So I got a call from John Reed. Can you come in and have a meeting? Yep, no worries. This is either going to go one way or the other.
Yep.
Went in there, he said, look, we've spoken to Blighty, he hasn't got you in his plans, we're not going to renew your contract. And I've gone, well, okay, no drama at all. That's it, pretty much. 2-3 minute conversation and went and cleaned out my locker, basically. And that was it, career over.
I reckon that's right, though, Weed. There's no point trying to argue your spot. The decision's been made. Exactly.
You're never going to do it. And like I said previously, I found those last couple of years pretty tough. I lacked a bit of motivation for it. I didn't feel that if this what AFL was, I didn't really like it too much. I felt I was doing a lot to no reward. I was still playing reasonable footy at the Eagles, but wasn't getting a look in, and all those sorts of things. So it didn't come as a shock. I would have loved to have stayed another year or two, but that wasn't the case. And then after that, it was a matter of fielding offers all around the place. I felt a little bit let down by the Eagles with the offer that they put to me, particularly. Was going to be going back full-time for him as well and not like in a part-time role.
Yep.
I was going to be a full-time player. I thought I was a little bit maybe let down a little bit with their offer, particularly when you got quite a few other offers from around the country.
Yeah.
And Tassie, Devonport was my first stop. Their offer down there, what they were going to do for me was too good to refuse, really. Could have gone to Mildura. That was a fair and reasonable offer up there too, but Tassie had some particular interest down there with statewide footy. Went down there and had two great days down there. Unfortunately, lost two prelim finals.
You did win the William Leach medal, though, Wade.
Yeah, I did happen to win that medal. About a couple of years. Playing state footy down there and representing Tassie with that big Tassie mapped fronted green jumper was, you know, and I played for ACT and I played for the amateurs in South Australia. I played for the Riverina. But nothing compares to playing for Tassie. They really bled for that jumper and meant everything to them. I remember a bloke called Errol Bourne that played for Burnie, a good little rover, forward pocket specialist. He got us all in the group one day and he said, I really don't care where you come from or what club you play for, but when you pull this jumper on, you play for us. And I think that resonated with everyone. And after that moment, in the 2 years that I played state footy for them, we beat Victoria at North Hobart.
Yeah, that would have been huge, Wade.
Huge. Yep, absolutely huge. We would have beaten Western Australia by more, except John Dorotich kicked about 7 or 8 to keep Western Australia in the game. But playing against Simon Atkins down at North Hobart Oval and having a pretty good day on him. There were a couple of special moments, a couple of special games I played for representing Tassie down there. And Devonport, it was great. It was great. It was state boy footy. You know, Troy Clark was unfortunately not with us anymore. He was playing at Sandy Bay. We had a star-studded lineup down there in those rep games. It was really a privilege to play in those games. Had 2 years down there and then went to Wagga for 3 years and won a flag up there and come back to Kilburn under Roger Delaney.
Yes, the Mound Men, the infamous Mound Men, Wade.
The infamous Mound Men, although good to have on your side, yes, I reckon. Yes. Good to have on your side. A bit like the Gowans boys. If you're playing against them, you didn't like them too much. But the crowd at Elizabeth loved them.
Yes.
But Kilburn was great for the year. And then Jars had left Gazer and I got a phone call from them and got the job there and was lucky enough to win the 2003 flag there.
In their centenary year too.
In centenary year, yeah. It was quite a good year. A lot of work was put into it. We managed that pretty well. And look, you always aim to play finals and win a flag in your centenary year. We were lucky enough to get a couple of blokes into that side. Willie Sainsbury come back to the club. I joined the club. I got a bloke from Tassie and Paul Brosnan to come over, played in the guts of left fielder as well.
Yes, he's a good player.
He was a good player. And the rest were pretty much local Gazer boys. And look, it gelled well. And having Jars for, I think, 7 or 8 games, played him when we needed to. Just his experience up forward was instrumental for us. You know, he was able to capitalise on a lot. And even then, even Jars was a little bit older, he still commanded respect up front and let him go and he'll do you damage. So we had the opposition think about him a lot. So, but it was a good year there before going to West Adelaide for 4 years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, regret that decision for the rest of my life. Should have stayed at Gazer, but went there with Rennie, and that was a pretty tough 4 years.
Just not enough resources and et cetera at West Adelaide. Yeah, yeah,
different club, West Adelaide. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different club. I've been to a few, as you say, but I know we're probably the different one, and I think that's you know, they sacked Foss Williams, you know. Different sort of place. They eat their own there. But leaving there and going to Foss Camden, had great 5 years there. Unfortunately, lost a grand final, Eastern Park. We missed one there, perhaps. Then after that, going to Broadview for 4 years. Little success, not a lot. And then finishing up at Walkerville for 3 years there. So, yeah, I've had a bit of a crack around it. But I guess the other thing is with that is that you don't get to coach a lot of clubs if you don't get asked.
Yeah, so, fair point. While I mucked around with the Liz Taylor line and all that, well, it's not like you weren't at clubs there for a while. It wasn't 1 year and then next too. There's a bit of difference, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think blokes can jump from club to club, but I was good enough to be able to stay at clubs for a reasonable period of time, yeah, yeah.
Should have had the Leyland Brothers music going in the background here at the moment because you have been everywhere, man, some pretty cold places as well.
Some cold places, yeah. And I guess I think that's a good thing about footy too. You get to see a bit of countryside as well. And Max Brown was coaching Devonport back then. You know, that's 28 years ago or something. And we're still very, very good friends at this stage, and he'd just been inducted into the Tassie Hall of Fame there with only about three or four others, including Peter Hudson, and that's a great story for Max too. But
yeah,
we formed a great relationship out of just the 2 years being down there. And, you know, Coolerman, where I went and coached up in Wagga, 3 years there, won a flag, will forever have memories there. That's where Mum's from, Dad coached there. Aunties and uncles still there, so I always have that relationship with that town and that footy club. So, yeah, the places I've been to, we've had some great success. May have just missed out on twice about having some great success at other places and a couple of disasters, which I get you have if you coach enough clubs, I guess. But all in all, I've enjoyed the travelling around, getting to see the countryside, and more importantly, meeting some great people.
And that's the thing, Weed. It's not the wins and the losses. It's who you meet in through sport. Like, I admit, I don't know what I would have done with my time and that. But it's who you meet. There's no one that you walk, you're out. You're always running into someone through footy and cricket, and that's the beauty of it. And, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think you always know someone. Someone always might say, I'm over here from Wagga. I said, a bloke from here coached up in Wagga, Wayne Whitman, blah, blah. And then they remember, or they have heard of you and things like that. So it's funny enough, I was in Burra, the hardware store, a couple of weeks ago, and went in and saw Ian Parkinson in there that owns a shop, and he's talking away. He said, funny enough, I had some Fish Creek people in there the other day, and he gets a lot of travellers through there, and he generally asks where they're from, and he said, where are you people from? He said, we're all the way from Fish Creek. You probably never heard of it. He said, I know that where that is. Wayne Wiedemann comes into my shop all the time, and he's from Fish Creek. So they had a bit of a chat. So the good thing about playing footy everywhere, someone knows you somewhere.
Absolutely. Oh, bloody oath. There's only one thing too, Weed. It's a game you've played against Uni at Uni Oval, and siren's gone, and Clinton Rule had played that day in the Div 8 reserves, but he's left his gear on. So the siren's gone. So he's just walked out and joined in the huddle and just shaking you guys' hands. And you've looked at him, and I reckon you're trying to think, I can't remember that guy out on the ground and all that. And we were just, we were always killing it. Typical Uni, we're just laughing away and all that. But, you probably won't remember that one, but, geez, the bewildered look on your face was priceless, I can tell you that.
I do half remember that, because I've gone, either you didn't touch it or you didn't get on the field, because you didn't look like you had any influence in the game at all. It's a pretty clever mood, but that's the Uni humour, as you say.
Don't worry, he had a few beers on the sidelines, but
pretty funny.
So we normally ask this a little bit earlier, but occasionally a little bit later. With all the coaching and travelling around that you've done with all of the different clubs, who are some of those role models as far as coaches you had in the past that you were able to draw upon to sort of mould you into the coach that that you become?
Yeah, I think I've been asked this question a bit before, and it's always a hard one to answer, but I'll sort of answer it this way. I took a bit from Cornsey with our flair and skill and getting fit, and I took a bit from Barmy about being relaxed. It is what it is. Open your arms up a little bit, make you feel welcome, and be that bloke to your players rather than a coach sometimes.
Yeah.
But then took a lot from Bruce Winter too about, you know, this is what we aim for, this is how we're structurally sort of set up, and this is the way we'll go about our business, and without going too far over the top.
Yeah.
I think that I think the biggest lesson I learned out of the whole lot of them, where Cordsy sometimes could be that complicated, you know, I guess a bit like Craigie as well, down to every instance.
Yeah.
Apart and opposed to Barmy would say, whatever happens, this is still the way we're going to go about it. So if the ball doesn't bounce A, if it bounces B, well, let's go with that option rather than, you know, setting examples up for this is how we want to play when it was never going to happen because the flow didn't go that way. So I think just the ability to adjust to what's in front of you. And look, I coached for 24 years or something, you know, and footy was different from the first time I coached to the last game at Walkable, you know.
Yeah.
Personalities change. You know, phones come in. The modern-day footballer opposed to the old-day footballer. Structurally-wise, people used to bring up terminology from radio, TV, commentators. They'd hear the speak from AFL coaches. So you always had to, I guess, be a foot in front of the game a little bit as a coach. And because I think that's what the modern-day footballer likes. He likes information and something new each week.
Yeah. Now, where you're now living up at Clare, and life's taken a bit of a change recently. You're back into the nappy side of things, etc. Wade.
Oh, here we go.
I am, mate. Yes, I've done it again. I had a little 24-year hiatus, and then decided to have a couple more. Something that wasn't high on my to-do list or bucket list. My partner, Sally Ann, floated the suggestion early, and I sort of knocked it back a little bit. But after a couple of years, and she'd never been married or had kids before, and to see her with her nieces and nephews and coaching the young girls at netball, I could see how she was with kids and children, and when she floated it again, I thought that, yeah, why not? She deserves to be a mum. And yep, so away we went. Got a little boy, Max, that's 2.5 years old, and a little girl, Maisie, who's just turned 10 months old yesterday, to be exact. And they're great. They're two great kids. I've enjoyed it. Didn't forget how to change nappies. That's one thing you don't forget to do.
That's right.
I do miss the sleep-ins and the nights without interruptions, but that's part and parcel of it. But second time round, don't get me wrong, and I love the first time round with my three kids, but second time round has been really good as well. So, I'm an old hand at it now.
Good on your way.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations. Is that a case of that it coincided a little bit with your coaching, that you stopped coaching, you had a bit more time on your hands, and you thought you'd just fill it in with some babysitting duties, basically?
Well, got me out of coaching anyway, because I've got a babysit now. So
yep.
Sally Ann, she still plays netball, so I spend my time now at the netball courts and the playground. I don't get to watch much footy.
Nothing wrong with that, Wade.
Absolutely. Work-life balance is important.
I enjoy it, yep.
All right, Wade, we'll go through, as we always end with.
Before we do that, I've got one more question. Your son, Jake.
Good point.
Yeah.
Playing, obviously, a bit of SANFL. Mm-hmm. You obviously sit back as a proud father to know that he's following a little bit in your footsteps. Give us a little bit of background on him and how he plays, and do you see traits of you in him as well?
Yeah, there's not a lot of me in him, which is probably a good thing. plays a different role to me. I was more midfield halfback, I guess. And I'm only just clicking over 6 foot, I guess. And Jake's 6'4". So he plays that tall roll up forward, or can do a tall roll down back. Occasionally he's pinched hitting the ruck at Port. But he started his junior footy at Woodville South. We went through the juniors there. We won a flag and lost one. And then he was out at the Eagles under 16s, 18s, and then went through the reserves and had 3 league games. Couldn't quite crack it. He had some interest from other clubs. He ended up at Port Adelaide, which is probably a little bit hard to swallow. But he's really been happy there. He's played some nice footy there. He gives his heart and soul every week to that place. I know he trains hard. He tries to win every week. And he's had another good year as well for what they've got down there. And he gets relied upon a little bit as another tall forward or back. He gets thrown around a little bit, but he loves that challenge. But he's good. He's played 55 games now, I think 56 maybe after the weekend. He's enjoyed it. I'm very proud dad to sit back and watch him play some league footy. I'm pretty sure he's going to go around next year, which may be his last year there before he moves on. But no, very proud and happy to watch him play his NFL footy.
Absolutely.
Good on you, Wade.
Mate, we'll get you out of here on a couple of questions. Malcolm will lead you off.
Righto. Best players played with and hardest opponents. Go whichever way you want here.
And you can go a couple. Yeah. You don't just have to narrow it to one. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I reckon the best players I played with would have to be Two Jarmans, Rusciutto, McLeod.
Yep.
You could throw a couple other blokes.
I'll throw one more in there. I'm still saying Sean Wren is the most important player in Adelaide Football Club history. You have a look, the years when he did his knees. The Crow shit house. Comes back, 97-98, go top, does his knee on that infamous plate in 99, Crow shit house again. I'm saying...
And then they traded him and been shit house ever since.
The spiritual leader in a lot of ways. He's the other one.
Look, 100%, you could throw him in there. You throw Ben Hart in there as well.
Yeah.
A couple of others. I think... I'll throw another one at you. I think Chris McDermott's probably the best
bone as well. Captain, exactly. Yep.
Best captain I've ever had. I thought he was fantastic. Hardest blokes I played against. Back in the days where you could run 50 metres and snipe blokes, I reckon John Worsfold was pretty tough.
Yes.
Carl Langdon was another one. Was pretty tough. Lewis, I thought, was hard to play on. David Neitz was hard to play on at Melbourne. Craig Kelly did the wrong thing by me one day at Victoria Park, and he still giggles about it today.
Yeah, I can imagine that, yes.
When he did it. I actually had to man him up one day, and he was running behind the goals at Victoria Park, where I was getting a lot of advice from the Victoria Park gallery there, and a lot of it wasn't very nice. But anyway, he was laughing about that. Paul Hudson was another one I found it difficult to play on because he would lead you to the
crafty,
and he'd sneak out the back and get you. Look, a lot of hard players, but those ones I mentioned were probably the toughest opponents to play on. I remember Derek kicking three goals on me about 3 minutes one day at the MCG. He's just lightning quick, couldn't keep up with him. As far as the better players, where the Crows had some good ones I was lucky to play with.
Hey, Wade, greatly appreciated. Thank you for your time, mate. It was a good chance to annoy you to buy a book there as I ran into you. You weren't going to escape, Wade, so greatly appreciated.
Not out of your headlock. I was in there. I had to pay up. Yep.
So anyone out there, we do have it in the background. Father's Day present. Message this page or message Malcolm Rulebook Ashwood. Available at Dylan's for Father's Day as well. So greatly appreciated, Wade. Thanks, mate.
No worries. Thanks very much for your time, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us, mate.
No worries. See ya.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe.